When King David was a little boy, he used to look after his father's sheep. So he knew what he was talking about when he spoke of the Lord as his shepherd. As we all know, a shepherd looks after sheep. That only makes sense. David led the sheep, and the Lord led David. One day, the Lord called David away from the life of looking after the sheep and after many dangerous adventures that Dave Bell has been going with us through 1 and 2 Samuel. David became the king of Israel. Instead of leading sheep, he was to lead God's people. Now more than ever, King David needed to follow the leading of our Lord God. King David could look back on his life as a shepherd boy and remember the times that God had assisted him. One time a lion attacked. Another time a bear attacked, tried to get his lambs. Both times the Lord helped David keep the lambs safe. And we can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 and 35. But David also knew his personal experience with the Lord as his shepherd. He protected David from Saul and Absalom. He also received moral correction from God through the prophet Nathan after his affair with Bathsheba and following the death of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, who David sent to the front lines in order to be killed.
Beside peaceful streams, he renews my strength.
I always wish I could rewind my life as easily. Let's do that again. Let's try that one more time. Thank you, Casey.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need.
Sheep are rather weak and defenseless animals. And what I love about David is that he acknowledged that we are like sheep. And that included himself. He included himself in the count. And, you know, David was saying, you know, there are some of us, and there were times in my own life, who, like sheep, are defenseless and weak before the enemy, yet perceive ourselves to be wise, to be clever, to be extremely able, and to be sufficient in themselves. And therefore, there are times, aren't there, when we feel that maybe we don't need a shepherd. We're sufficient. And tend to wander away from Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. Now, if the shepherd does not find them, does not find the lost sheep, does not find those who have wandered away, it can end up in a very disastrous form. And we know that as we look at sheep who are lost and not recovered. But individuals who know they have these weaknesses, just as King David said, I know I have this weakness in my life, and Paul recounted the times when he discovered that and made it very clear. When they find that they do need a good shepherd, they find that they are truly blessed. And we are blessed, aren't we? We are blessed with the care of the good shepherd. It's sort of an issue of pastoral care. And when I hear the word pastoral care, I can't help but think about, even though it's not spelled the same and it doesn't have the same meaning, but being in a pasture, right? Pastoral care, being cared for by God while we're out in the field of life. That God does care for us spiritually, and he does take care of us. You know, sometimes when we think of pastoral care and you think of someone providing pastoral care, we think of counseling, of course. We think of giving out life principles, scriptural principles, God's principles and teachings. But we want you to recognize that just as King David shares his stories, his deepest gut level stories, and we see him in the Psalms, we see it in the books. In fact, we see David so starkly at times we think, did we really need to know all of that? Okay? It's laid out for us. It's laid out for us. That what David is willing to do, that I hope we are willing to do, is to share how God has guided our lives, just as David shared how God was his good shepherd and guided his life. Because when we are in need, or when we are in want, and we begin our journey in Christ, and we find that we accept him in our life, we find that he supplies our every need. And sometimes it doesn't come the way we think it will or when we think it will, but we begin to see the care of God, the pastoral, spiritual care. And we begin to trust him and allow him to guide us through our life. And because we all have these experiences, we, as we experience these ups and these downs, these mountains and these valleys in our lives, that we be willing to share those accounts with someone else, because they too may be struggling. They too may need to know, how did you walk through the fire? How did you walk out of the valley? How were you led by God? And they begin to understand and correlate and learn and relate. Our experiences shared do help other people. We find that it's not always the head knowledge somebody has. It's not always the secondhand information maybe we found on the internet. It may not even be necessarily specific skills, and definitely not formulas, that will equip us to shepherd other people. It comes from our heart. It just comes from our life stories. It just comes from being authentic and saying, this is who I am, the good and the bad. When we are willing to share our own experiences of how God has truly helped us, we find that it makes a difference in somebody else's life. So I want you to spend some time and think about, how has God led you? Where is God leading you? What are you struggling with today? Please don't ever be afraid to share that, because God may put someone in your path, maybe even this afternoon, that needs to hear your story, who needs your words of encouragement of how you walk through the fire, or how you may be in the fire right now, but you are being sustained by God, that he is standing right there with you. It is, after all, our relationships with our neighbors, with our friends, our coworkers. It is in our areas of loss. It could be through a death. It could be through a divorce. It could be through a loss of a job. It could be maybe an adoption that fell through, a promise that didn't occur. How has the Good Shepherd led you and led me, led us as a church, through these experiences?
He lets me rest in green meadows.
Sheep are not able to distinguish between nutritious and poisonous plants. The shepherds have to find the pastures with the green, fresh, living, and nutritious grass for their sheep. When we apply this spiritually, this indicates that Jesus is our green pasture. It is the unsearchable riches of Christ that he offers to us and therefore leads us to himself. People are hungering and thirsting for the living Word of God. The Word of God is not just doctrines, teachings, or traditional concepts, but the Word of God should be fresh and living through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if it is reality in our lives, then we will be able to experience Christ in the Word. Because we personally know the unsearchable riches of Christ, therefore we are able to lead the flock to these pastures and allow them to chew and digest on the Word of God and really rest on the Lord. We must know Jesus as our Savior. We must know that he has forgiven our sins, he has accepted us as his own, and that we will experience eternal life once our physical existence is over. So what are these still waters? Spiritually speaking, still waters represent the Holy Spirit. He is the living water. When the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks with a still, small voice. It is as the still water. He does not come in overwhelming, rushing, forcing way. He comes in such gentleness, stillness, like an anointing within us. That is the difference between the work of the enemy, the devil, and the work of the Holy Spirit. If an individual comes to you with a problem, and if you know the solution, or you think you know what the right solution is, please don't give the advice too quickly. Instead, try to lead them to the still waters. Let them drink of the Spirit, just as the psalmist says of the heart, which loves the water from a brook, which comes from Psalm chapter 42, verse 1. When people are led to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will reveal within them, expose them, and show them what they really are and what they really need. And by doing so, the Holy Spirit is able to do the transforming work according to the image of Christ. The advice that we give them may not be what the Spirit is looking at giving that individual. Every problem has a person. Every problem a person has is always an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to transform that individual. But if we step in and substitute ourselves for the Holy Spirit by giving that person the solution, then we actually do a disservice to the Lord and to this person. We must lead them to the Lord. We're not to solve their problems by ourselves. That is not our work. How do we lead them to the Lord? We should pray with them. And after doing so, we must wait and see if the Holy Spirit speaks to that individual. Afterwards, we will fellowship with that individual and find out how he or she feels about the situation. What's coming to them? Since a person may not have had the experience of hearing the voice of the Spirit, he or she may misunderstand what God is saying. There we can assist in the interpretation, but certainly not take the place of the Holy Spirit.
He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength.
He renews my strength. Don't you love that? You know, one thing we know about sheep is that they live on their emotions because they do not have the ability, sheep do not, to rationalize, to reason, to basically calm themselves down, and that's why a shepherd is so important. And so we see that a sheep will have its ups and downs even throughout the day, that they will fall away and they will wander away, and occasionally they'll be wounded or they'll be sick, and they will need to be restored. And I love that word, restored. He doesn't say, oh, he's just going to patch me up temporarily. No. My soul will be restored. Restored, revived. So when we think about our roles as we shepherd one another, as we shepherd those around us, and we bring them back and we help them, we can only bring them so far. It is God who takes them the rest of the way and restores them. And what joy that is, isn't it? I mean, even your testimonies of healing that have taken place in here, just the testimonies of getting a doctor's appointment when needed. I mean, we have these pieces when we know God's Spirit is present, and he is restoring us. What glory that is, to see that glimpse, to see that glimpse, and know that God is real. But what if we choose to fall away? What if we choose that, not recognize ourselves as sheep, and we choose to wander away? How can we bring somebody else back to restoration? It is critical that we understand how God restores us so we can help somebody else along the way. It's one thing to sympathize, but it's another to help revive. We can stand back, we can give emotional support, we can give spiritual support, and that is all key in loving someone back to restoration.
He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name.
I love the wording of that. The shepherd, one, knows where the right paths are. Now we may see many paths, and that's why we have to oftentimes put things to prayer. We need to know which is the right path to go. We also know that the good shepherd leads the sheep there. Not only does he know where the path is, he takes us there. The Lord leads us through his word. He guides us and he teaches his way through his soft, affirmative, authoritative, still voice. The shepherd looks after his sheep in a proper form. So we have to be careful when we disobey God, because when we disobey God, we dishonor his name. So he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Bringing honor to his name means to emulate righteousness. So sometimes we think righteousness is an awfully big word. It's awfully abstract. What does that mean? It means giving glory to God and honoring his name. We know that with Christ, we are to follow his example and not model the world around us. And that's so hard to do because we are such of the human nature. We need to believe totally in God And because of his majestic nature, because he is king and he is sovereign over our lives, we can walk in the paths of righteousness. So let us today, as we take communion today, let us think about that. What is the right path? Where are you at in your life right now? Where is God leading you? Where is that path you need to go? We need to be careful that we always give God the rightful place in our daily life. When we do this, when we honor God, when we choose the paths of righteousness, other people see, and they too will follow, and they too will glorify God.
Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me.
We will all go through low periods in our lives. Depression, hurting, wandering away, medical issues. And spiritually, we will all go through the valley of the shadow of death. But it's not death at that point, it's just a shadow. It may frighten us, but it can't hurt us spiritually. Pastoral care means we are there in times of need for others. We will make ourselves available. As people go through these times of tragic experiences, we may not have any words to comfort them. You know, that's okay at times. Because our very presence in being with them and available to them will strengthen, comfort, and help them through this period of the shadow of death. The key is to make ourselves available.
Rod and your staff protect and comfort me.
The rod can be a protection against lions, bears, or wolves. Or lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. In the spiritual sense, we need to protect our fellow believers from the assault of the enemy, of deception, of heresy, of lies, of false teaching, etc. Also, the rod can be used for counting the sheep. Every single one of them is dear to the shepherd. We see that in the parable of the lost sheep. Spiritually speaking, we need to be always mindful of them to make sure that none is wandering away from the Lord, because every one of them is dear to our Lord. Sometimes the rod can be used for discipline if the sheep wander away and need to be brought back to the flock. In the spiritual sense, sometimes individuals have fallen into sin or made mistakes, and therefore, with the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can gently correct or admonish them and restore them. We know the staff is used to rescue the sheep which may have fallen into a ditch. The shepherd will use the staff, which has a hook on it, to pull them out where they have fallen. Spiritually speaking, we sometimes need to use a staff to help our fellow believers who have fallen away from the Lord so that we can restore their spiritual condition. Comfort means to strengthen, and that's what we must do with our sheep.
You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies.
Don't you love that he prepares a feast? It's not just the toasted cheese sandwich you'd probably get at my house, but he prepares a feast. All the good things. He puts them all before us. What I love about the image of the shepherd watching over the sheep and making sure that they have food and that they can rest, he's protectively watching them, because we know that there are physical enemies out there for the sheep, and they can only eat when they are comfortable, when they feel safe. And I think that's true with us too, isn't it? That we can only absorb God's word in our lives when we feel comfortable, when we feel safe. And a good friend watching over you, talking with you, helping you through a situation, is that comfort level, allowing you to relax and absorb. We who have tasted the victory of Christ over our spiritual enemies, we are privileged to help Christ prepare these tables in front of our friends, in front of our neighbors, in front of our loved ones, to help them, to comfort them, and to show them that they do not need to be afraid, that they can enter into the victory of Christ as well, because the enemy is a defeated foe. And as they go through the growing process, they too will then understand how they have been strengthened by God as that table, that feast, is spread before them.
You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing.
Again, David, feast, bounty, overflowing bounty. As we look at this particular scripture, before nightfall, one thing a shepherd will do as he begins to gather the sheep with it, the rod, is he starts to count them. He makes sure that they're all there. And then he will examine them to see if any have been wounded. And I love this about you. I love this about you. I see you calling one another. How are you doing today? Thought maybe you could use a call. You're seeing the wounds of one another. You get it out there on email. Please be praying. There are wounds here that need to be healed. The wounds normally occur with the sheep on the head. Think about that. That's why the anointing is done, in order to help heal the wounds and keep the flies away, right? So, because it will drive the sheep crazy if they're not anointed, if those aren't covered, if the wounds aren't covered. And sometimes our troubles, we go crazy if we don't allow God's word to anoint us, if we don't allow prayer to cover us. I also love the fact that we have been doing the renewing of the mind. What is that emphasizing? Where do we take most of the hits? Right in the head, right in the mind. And so we need that anointing. And so it's okay to pray over the anointing. Lord, help wash these thoughts away from me. I love that the cup overflows. When a sheep is sick, and they do get sick, it helps to even lower the temperature of the sheep if it's poured over the head. Reduces any fever, reduces anxiety. So spiritually speaking, we know that oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. Anoint my head with oil simply means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we are constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, then we can help our brothers and sisters. We can allow it to spill over to them in a blessing, in a way they may never experience.
Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The 23rd Psalm is certainly more than a dissertation on the care and handling of sheep. It shows us how As mature Christians, we have the responsibility to care and protect and lead our brothers and sisters in their walk of faith. Dear Jesus, thank you for your example and for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen.